The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
It's good to be back with you this morning. I can't believe it's been 3 years in a row. Yeah, you'll get tired of me eventually, I promise you. But it's good to be back. We think about the people of Wilson Creek and the surrounding churches a lot through the year. We really do. I keep in touch with some of you, and you definitely hold a very special place in our hearts. And I'm so glad to see how the Lord has blessed the church and blessed Brother Graham, Sister Amber, and their family here. What I had on my mind this morning to talk to you about, I guess if you could title the sermon, I would title it Seasons of Temptation. Seasons of Temptation. And when you think about the word seasons, you know, that's a word very common to us. It's a word that we find used in the Bible pretty often. But a season, this is my own definition, a season is a particular period of time when something is more present or more active than it is at other times. That makes pretty good sense to me. That might be a simple definition, but it makes a lot of sense. You can come up with your own definition if you want to, but a season is a period of time where something seems to be more active or more present than other times. And, you know, typically when you think about a season, you may think about seasons of nature. We're kind of in the midst of a transition between two seasons right now. We're thankfully coming out of the suffocating heat of summer, at least in Alabama. I don't know about Tennessee, but boy, it'll get you in Alabama. And we're transitioning to those beautiful, cool fall days of autumn. And if you think about that early in the spring, what do you notice? You start to notice these trees that have been barren of leaves for, you know, several months, and the grass is dormant and it's brown. And as you come into the season of spring, you begin to notice the grass begins to take on a green hue to it as it begins to come out of the dormant stage and grow. And you'll begin to notice these limbs that have not had a leaf on them for quite some time begin to put out these little green buds as they put on new growth, and the bushes in your yard may begin to put on new growth. And that's something that's not active. That's something that you don't see during the dead of winter, right? There's a season there that brings those things to our minds and to our vision, and is present with us. And it's a season of growing, and it's active. And if you give it enough time, those little buds will begin to grow and grow and grow, and the grass grows and gets greener. And all of a sudden, you're not in that season where you're seeing things grow. You're in a season of where things have grown. And these little tender light green leaves are now dark green, full oak and maple leaves. And the grass is continually growing, and you got to get out there and cut it. You don't see that in the dead of winter, do you? Because it's a season of summer. And what you see during the season of summer is not what you see in the season of spring. And what you see in the season of spring is not what you see in the season of winter. And when you go to the season of fall, which we're fixing to enter into, those little buds on the trees have grown into full mature leaves. And now what you're noticing is they're beginning to turn yellow and orange and brown. And they begin to die and fall off the leaves as we cycle back through into that winter season. So we all understand what a season is. It's a period of time when something is a little more active than it is at other times. And you can use many examples of that. What about football season, right? We go football season, I guess, would probably start about September, early September, maybe late August, and maybe go through January or so. And there's a season there where you can go on Saturdays, or I guess if you're an NFL fan, Sundays and Mondays, and our high school will be Friday nights, where you can go watch people play football. Well, aside from going and watching reruns, you can't go in March and find a football game that's live and active to watch, right? There's a season where you can watch a football game that is live and currently going on, and there's times that you can't. You know, I love to hunt. I know some of you guys like to hunt. There's a season that I can do that. You know, if I go out in March and I kill a deer in March and the game warden finds out about it, he's either going to write me a ticket or he's going to take away my guns and my truck and he's going to throw me in jail. But now I can go to a certain period of time. I could go to, say, late November in Alabama, and I could kill the same deer with the same weapon, and that guy that wanted to throw me in jail will pat me on the back. Because there's a season when I can do that, and there's a season that I can't do that. I can think about our life with my wife and children. You know, there was a time in our life where we didn't have children, obviously. And I remember when we got the word that Tiffany was expecting our first child, Emma. And we began to enter into a season of life where it was like no other season that we had experienced up to that point. Where now we have this young baby and we had become parents for the first time. And we had this child that we needed to take care of. And there will come a time as our children grow and they will move on into a different season of their life. And then my wife and I will move on into a season, another season of life where we, maybe are retired and we begin to travel or do whatever people do when they're retired. From every retired person I've ever met, you got a lot to do. Every retired person I've ever met says, I don't know how I ever had time to work. I'm interested to see that. I'm wondering, because I sit there and watch my mom and dad, I'm like, you don't have time to do all these things? You don't even have to work. But that's what every retired person says. But there's a season when that comes. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There's a season when we plant. And there's a season when we harvest. And the Bible speaks about that. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, you can go read there sometime. And he gives a long list of different types of seasons. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time to rend and a time to sow. There's all types of different seasons. So keep that in mind as we go through this, that there's a period of time where something is more present or more active than it is at other times. Now, if you're wise, and I hope that there will be some wisdom in this sermon, and I believe there's some truth in it, and I hope there'll be some wisdom in it. If you're wise, you will prepare for those seasons, right? If you're wise, you're going to prepare for those seasons. We do not heat our house with a fireplace, but we do have a fireplace. And if we want to burn fire in our house during the wintertime when it's cold, I can't wait until the wintertime to go cut my firewood. You understand what I'm saying? I've tried that before. The first year we moved in was about September. The year that we moved in the month of September, and we had this fireplace, and I was just about to die to build fires when it got cold. So I run out and I cut a tree down and cut it up and start to build fires. And guess what I built? A bunch of smoke. I mean, just the house, this new house got smoky, and I was burning green wood, because you don't wait until wintertime to cut your firewood. You cut your firewood back in the summertime. When it's hot and you sure don't feel like cutting firewood. But thankfully, we've got all our firewood cut and it's getting dried out. So this winter when it comes, we build fires, we won't have a smoky house. But you prepare for winter before winter gets there, right? You go and make sure before the freeze comes that your faucets are covered and your pipes are insulated. You want to make sure that that whatever you've got to do to prepare for winter has already been done before that winter comes. Because if you don't, what you're going to find is you're going to have pipes busting everywhere. You're going to find yourself with no firewood. If you go into planting season in the spring and you go out there and you've got your bags of seed and your bags of fertilizer and you look at your ground and you haven't plowed it up, well, you hadn't prepared. So you've got to prepare for the seasons of life that are coming. You know, we would have been foolish if we would have gone to the hospital that first time we had our first child, Emma, and they would have laid her in our arms, and, you know, you stay there a day or two if things go pretty well, and they did for her, and the doctor says, okay, you're discharged, you're ready to go. Well, how foolish would we have been to say, well, I guess we need to stop by the store and get diapers on the way home and figure out a place for her to sleep. You know, and I don't know, how are we going to do bottles? Well, you know, it would have been foolish of us to wait till we got in the middle of that season of parenthood to prepare for it. Well, we had a place already prepared for her to sleep. We had a closet full of diapers that people that love us had given us. We had clothes for her. We had essentially everything she needed and that we needed for that season of early young parenthood, because we prepared ahead of time. We prepare for the retirement phase of our life, hopefully. We do 401ks and do all this kind of stuff that I really don't understand. I'm glad my wife understands it, or I wouldn't be prepared. So the seasons that we have in our life require us, if we are wise, to do some preparation. So when that season comes and these things are active in our lives, that we are not torn down and destroyed because we're unprepared. And I hope that makes some sense to you. But what I want to talk to you about this morning are seasons of temptation. Seasons of temptation. Now, when I say a season is a time when something is more active or more present, I am not telling you when we talk about seasons of temptation that there's never a time in your life when you're susceptible, when you're not susceptible to temptation. The worst enemy that we can have on this earth lives inside of us. It's our own wicked heart. And the Bible tells us it is deceitful above all things. And who can know it? It's always right there. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans, the 7th chapter. It's like, it doesn't matter what I do, it is always right there with me. I have a good spiritual, godly thought, and there's this cotton-picking, wicked heart whispering in my ear telling me something exactly opposite of that. And that is a struggle that we face. Because the Bible tries to, our heart tries to deceive us. Now, there's a couple things I want to mention about temptation along those lines. Don't ever think that you're void of temptation. Don't ever think that you are above temptation or that you are, in a position in your life where temptation can have no effect on you. What does the Bible say? And I'm paraphrasing here. It says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Absolutely not. Go get you a big wad of fire and hold it close, and you come back and tell me if your clothes didn't catch on fire. You can't take fire into your bosom and not be burned. And there may be an attitude at times of, well, you know, this can't touch me, or, you know, hey, my feet are on firm, solid ground. And what does the Bible tell us? Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Temptation is there, and we need to be mindful of that. And when the seasons of temptation come that I'm going to talk to you about, we need to make sure that we are more prepared for those seasons than we are football season, hunting season, seasons of parenting, seasons of planting, seasons of winter. Because if we're not prepared for the seasons when temptation comes on us like a wave, you will be destroyed. Okay, now, so there's a couple more things I want to mention here. The temptations that we face, it's important that we understand that those temptations do not come from God the Father. The Bible tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. There seems to be this idea that mankind has adopted in order to shed the responsibility of their actions off of their shoulders and onto God by saying, well, this is all part of God's plan. Understand. People may say, well, I fell into the arms of another person, and I had forsaken my family, and I committed adultery, or I got into some illegal activities, and it's just all part of God's big plan. I didn't want to end up here. This is where God wanted me to end up, because he's got a big plan for this, so he tempted me and enticed me and allured me along to get me right here. That's what we call in Alabama hogwash. God's plan for you is not to sin. God's plan for you is to not wander from the path of righteousness. Now, the Bible tells us that we're led away by our own lust. Now, there is a nature inside of us. This is what ought to make us tremble to some extent. When seasons of temptation come, you know, temptation is kind of like, this is another definition of my own. Temptation is kind of like the vehicle that takes you to sin, right? Sin is over here, and you need to get to sin. Well, you hop in the vehicle of temptation, it'll take you right to it if you don't resist it. Now, when those seasons of temptation come along, we need to have some preparation lest we be taken and just steamrolled by it. Now, I want to look for just a second here in Luke, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read starting in verse 1 of Luke, the 4th chapter. This is very familiar to you guys. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now notice this last verse. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, I'm not going to speak too much because some of this is a mystery to me. I know that the devil is not as powerful as the Lord. But I know that the devil, without the Spirit of the Lord guiding me, is more powerful than I am. But I do not find any evidence in the Bible where Satan is omniscient like the Lord. I don't find any evidence where Satan is all-knowing like the Lord is. Neither do I find any evidence where Satan is what we call omnipresent, meaning everywhere at all times. We read about in the book of Job where the Lord asked Satan where he's been. He says, I've been walking to and fro, walking up and down in the earth. The Bible says that he's like a lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us here that the devil departed. Well, if you're omnipresent, you don't need to depart because you're all places at all times. Some of that is quite a mystery to me. And maybe on this side of heaven, I'll never fully understand it. But what I do know, I remember Brother Tim McCool, who's my father in the ministry, even though he's not that much older than me. One thing that he told me when I was very young and beginning to exercise, he says, you'll never go wrong by going with what you know. Don't try to tackle what you don't know. So I'm not going to try to tackle some of these mysteries that I don't fully understand. But what I do know is there was a season here where the devil comes to the Lord, who is God manifest in the flesh, and the devil, because that's what the devil does. Now, this is God manifest in the flesh, and God cannot be tempted with evil. But that's what Satan does. He doesn't really do anything else but tempt and seek to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. That's his M.O. And so he comes to Jesus. And there's a season here. There's a period of time where there is just an extra measure of temptation coming from Satan. And when I read through this a week or so ago, that really struck a chord with me because I feel that sometimes. Do you? Do you feel like there are times in your life when you just feel like temptation is so much stronger than it is at other times? Now, again, I do not believe that the devil is all-knowing, and I do not believe that he is all-powerful, and I do not believe that he is in all places at all times. I believe that he and his minions are walking and seeking whom they can devour, and I believe the Lord is merciful. And many, many, many times, I believe the Lord puts wonderful, strong hedges of protection around his people, that Satan passes by and doesn't even know that they are there. I believe the Lord is merciful and puts hedges of protection around his churches, that Satan and his minions would want so bad to get in there and destroy, but they're blinded to him because the Lord has protected them. You see, Satan is limited and the Lord is not. But there are times, maybe you could go to Satan right now, in my simple mind, you could go to Satan right now and says, can you tell me where Wilson Creek Primitive Baptist Church is? And maybe he and his spirit is on the other side of the world and says, no, I've never even heard of it. But maybe he's walking in front of that street right there. And there are times when His presence, just like it is with the Lord right here, there are times where His presence and the presences of the powers of darkness are so strong, it's such strong influences in our life that we can feel them. I have felt that. Am I the only one? And it may be a season of discouragement. Or it may be a season of fear. Or it may be a season of lust. Or it may be a season of indulgence. Maybe there's issues with addictions and you can keep those at bay for a while. But all of a sudden, maybe you wake up one morning and you just feel like, I've never felt such temptation to go back to the things I know I shouldn't have. I wonder sometimes, how close is the power of darkness to us? Am I in a season here of great temptation? Now, I prepare for winter, and I prepare for hunting season. I don't care that much about football. I watch it if it's on, but I don't lose sleep over it. But you know what? I used to play football. And my coach did not say, hey, you guys, our first game's on September the 1st. Let's just meet an hour before the game. We'll figure out who's going to play what, and we'll just kind of go with it from there. We spent months and months preparing for that season. And there are seasons of temptation in our life that I believe the devil comes after us or his minions and the powers of darknesses and begin to squeeze us. We got to be prepared for that. Let me tell you something my dad told me one time that I've never forgotten. He told me when I was younger, when I really wasn't all that even interested too much in girls yet, you know. But as he began to see me change and he began to see me start to take notice in girls like ways I'd never noticed them before. You guys remember that? You know, one day they got cooties and the next day you're like, You know, do y'all remember that? I remember that. And my dad sat down one time and he told me, he said, Luke, I'll tell you something. He said, there may come a time in your life. And he's a God-fearing man, believes this Bible, knows this Bible, but he didn't take me to Proverbs the 7th chapter where he talks about the strange woman. But essentially, I believe the Spirit of God was giving him those thoughts as he talked to me. He said, Luke, there may come a time in your life as you grow that there may be a woman come after you. And she may begin to tempt you just like the woman in Proverbs 7 does. And he told me, he said, Luke, listen, don't wait until that happens to figure out what you're going to do. He said, you prepare in advance to know what you're going to do when that time comes. Right. And I thought, wow, what words of wisdom from a father. To where if something comes to me and there's a great temptation falling upon me, that I will have thought about it and I will have prepared for it. So I can say, I've run this scenario through my mind 100 times. I remember my dad talking about me, and that strange woman, all she hears is the door flapping and my feet running down the street. Because my dad said, prepare for the seasons of temptation. And there are lots of different ways that we can be tempted, right? Like I mentioned earlier, discouragement. Ah, discouragement plagues me. You could give me 1,000 compliments, and all I'll remember is the one that wasn't pleasant. The one negative thing is what I will dwell on. And I will focus on that and focus on that and focus on that until I'm just in despair, in the dumps, I'm worthless, I'm no good, what's the point? See, the devil knows how to get to me because he's got to me before. He's not all-knowing, but he knows it because it's been successful for him before. And so there are seasons where I may deal with great discouragement. Seasons of fears, I mentioned, seasons of lust, seasons of indulgence, you name it. You could probably stand up here forever and mention them. So the question is, how do we prepare for the seasons of temptation? The greatest enemy, like I said, is right here. Here's the problem. Is when we are tempted by our own lust and by the schemes and the systems of the devil. Here's the problem. Is there is something inside of us called a sinful nature that wants what is being offered. When the devil comes along or his minions to seduce us, there is part of us that wants what he's offering. And that's called your sin nature. But the Spirit of God that He has graciously given us as He made us His temple and put His Spirit in it, Spirit in us, that wants to resist that, that finds it just as much of an abomination as the Lord finds it, and we want to run from it, yet there's part of us that wants to grab it and take it. And that's the battle of a child of God, right? I probably already felt it this morning. Somebody says something to me, and not this morning, but at times somebody will say something to me, and there's part of me that wants to bite their head off. But then there's part of me that wants to be merciful and defer my anger. And so the question is, which one am I going to do? Don't wait until that happens to figure it out. Prepare for it ahead of time. So what I want to look at just for a few more minutes here is how do we prepare for it? Number one, you need to understand that it's coming. Again, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No. Understand that the seasons of temptation, they are coming just as sure as winter is coming. Just as sure as spring will follow that, and summer will follow that, and autumn will follow that. Seasons of temptation are coming. And you need to understand that there is something inside of you that will crave what the powers of darkness are offering you. You need to understand your weakness. Back before I was a Primitive Baptist, I remember the preacher that was preaching to us at the time. He was of a different order, great man. And he had spent a lot of time in the Navy. And while he was in the Navy, he had gotten a taste for alcohol. And he had a big problem controlling that. And I remember him standing up in the pulpit one time and telling us, he said, it's been a long time since I've let that have any control over me. He said, but if you came in here and you sat a glass of whiskey up on this pulpit, he said, my mouth would water. And he said, it would be all I could do to reach down there and not drink it. Well, you know what that brother needs to make sure he doesn't do? He doesn't need to go build a house by a bar, right? He needs to understand, I am weak in this particular area, and maybe when that season of temptation comes, that I'm going to be steamrolled if I don't keep myself from an environment that's going to make it easy for me to fall. But we don't do that very often, do we? Maybe there's a man who has a difficulty with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Well, you need to make sure that whatever computer you're dealing with, you can't get to it. Because if you can get to it, it's just like sitting that glass up on that pulpit for that dear brother of mine. You got to prepare ahead of time for seasons of temptation and understand that you're not strong enough in and of yourself to resist it. Sometimes that season of temptation comes along. The devil seduces us, and we bite on it. We take it. And guess what the initial feeling is? Two thumbs up. It's a great feeling. When that brother would reach down and take that glass of whiskey and start to drink it, great feeling. A man goes off and gives in to the lust of the flesh, great feeling. You bite somebody's head off and you put them in their place, great feeling for about that long. And then it turns sour. And then it begins to rot. And it begins to stink. And you're left with a mess on your hands. And then Satan comes back along and says, hey, let's do it again, one more time. I can get rid of that rotten feeling for you. You know how you get rid of that rotten feeling? Is you go back to the good feeling, bite their head off again. Do it. Run from God. If you're afraid, run from God. I'll give you something to make you feel good. And you know what we do? That sinful nature inside of us says, okay, I'll take it. I don't like this feeling. And we go back to it. That long. And there's the cycle that we go through. So we need to understand, first and foremost, that it is coming and that we are susceptible to it. As the Bible said, and as I've already mentioned, a man that thinks he stands and a man that thinks he can resist and a man who thinks he doesn't need the help of the Lord to fight those seasons of temptation is doomed already. He will fall, according to the Bible. Now, other ways we can prepare for that seasons of temptation, and I can't stress this enough, especially to you younger people. The Bible says this, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. I cannot stress enough how important it is for you young people to surround yourselves with good, godly, strong influences that will help you when those seasons come. Lay aside your pride and go to these wise companions that God has placed all around us and say, help me fight this battle. I don't want to be in a foxhole fighting a battle by myself. I want to look at the other end of that foxhole and see another brother right there with me, fighting it with me, helping me. Too often we surround ourselves by foolish companions. A man that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Having wise counsel. And I pray that the young people hear that your mothers and fathers are wise counsel. And next to your mothers and fathers, your pastor should be wise counsel to you. I've said many, many times, I travel a good bit preaching at different churches because I do not pastor a church. And so I'm free to travel a fair amount. But you know, I don't take my family with me, but maybe on 20% of those trips. I grieve over it. I grieve over that. But you know why I don't? Because God forbid something happens to me, they need to know that Elder Tim McCool is their friend. And they need a pastor. They need wise counsel to be able to go to and say, I'm struggling. And these are the things going on in my life, and I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to point me to the Word of God. I feel like the devil is there offering me the kingdoms of the world. I'm hungry, and I feel like he's laying the bread of sin right out in front of me, and I need somebody to help me. I want them to know they've got a pastor, an Elder Tim McCool. And then Brother Tim moves on one day, whoever comes along, I want them to feel like they've got a pastor if I'm not there to be their pastor. Wise counsel is a powerful weapon. Foolish counsel is just as powerful. But it's going to take you in the other direction, right? Wise companions and understanding that you will reap what you sow. There's not a soul in here, unless your head is screwed on backwards, that thinks if I go plant a watermelon seed, I'm going to get a corn stalk. You know, if I plant a watermelon seed, we saw strawberries this morning, strawberry plants up at this little farm up here. Brother Graham took me over there. Those people went along and they put strawberry seeds in the ground and never expected anything but strawberries to come up. But how often do we plant things of the flesh and expecting something from the Spirit to come forth? You sow to the flesh, we reap to the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you reap to the Spirit. Sometimes we need to stop, take inventory of our lives, look at the field of our lives, step back and see how much Spirit is growing and how much flesh is growing. And if there's a bunch of flesh growing, it's because you planted for the flesh. It didn't just happen. We sowed for the flesh and we reap the flesh. Walk with wise counsel. Understand that seasons of temptation are coming. Understand that you need to walk with wise counsel. Understand that you are susceptible to temptation. And you need to understand that you're going to reap exactly what you sow. You need to understand that the environment that you're in has a huge impact on you. Just like my buddy with the whiskey, he doesn't need to live by the bar. If you have issues with the lust of the flesh, you don't need to set your house up where it's readily available to you. Understand? If you have issues with anger, and you have issues with discouragement, and you have issues with fear, don't set yourself up where those things will be very prominent in your life. If you've got a particular acquaintance that is always negative to you and always pulling out the bad possibilities that are there, or never lifts you up and always tears you down, and you've got issues with discouragement, get away from them. Get away from them, because all they're going to be to you is an instrument that Satan can use to bring along the squeeze of temptation. Now, probably more than any of those things, I encourage you to know the Word of God. What did the Lord do when the devil came to him? He said, "It is written, it is written, it is said." He quoted Scripture to him. You know, and maybe when I was younger, I thought, yeah, what's that do? That's not some kind of magical enchantment that you can just say and just all this thing, you know, just kind of all goes away. There is power in these Scriptures. You know, there are times when I struggle, and maybe I'm at work, and if you've ever dealt with the public can be difficult to deal with. And sometimes there may be a person in the public that's giving me fits, and my tendency is to want to slay them. But I can think to myself, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I've got two choices. I can slay them and get rid of their wrath, or I can give them a soft answer and get rid of their wrath. And which one am I going to do? But you know what I can't do? I can't quote that verse if I don't know it. Know the Word of God. The Bible tells us this: resist the devil, and he will flee. What did the Lord do? He resisted him. How did he resist him? He quoted Scripture. You know, in my mind, I feel like every time Scripture falls on the ears of Satan, they just burn because he hates them that much. And he didn't want to be around it. The Lord quoted Scripture and it says that he departed. But notice what it says. He departed for a season. Meaning, I'm coming back. I didn't get you this time, but I'll be back. If he didn't get you the last time, he's coming back. Are you going to be prepared? Are you going to have surrounded yourself with wise counsel? Are you going to have studied the Word of God where you can quote Scripture like the Lord quoted it? Listen, I'm not a good memorizer. Never have been, probably never will be. I pray that the Lord helps me. I really do. I say, Lord, help me be able to remember. If you can't remember it, write it down. I like what Brother Josh Coker said one time. He was preaching. He said he heard a guy say one time, a short pencil is better than a big brain. Write it down. You know, I've got on my computer at work, I've got Scriptures on little post-it notes down through there. I went through a season of terrible, terrible discouragement and fear about a year ago. And I came up with some verses that just were powerful to me, and they're still taped along the bottom of my computer. And guess what? I probably memorized them better than I thought I would, because I read them every time I'm in the office. Knowing the Word of God is how we make the devil flee from us. You see, when we're walking with God, He has very little influence over us, very little power. But when we stray like the sheep, that's when the wolf comes along, and we don't have a whole lot of influence to get rid of him. Walking with the Lord and knowing the Word of God. Listen, wisdom. I encourage you to seek wisdom. There's a couple different ways that the Bible tells us that we are to get wisdom. One is, a man that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And the other one is to ask for it. There, listen to me now. There is no place for tunnel vision in seasons of temptation. You hear me? No place for tunnel vision in seasons of temptation. Meaning, when I'm in this deep, dark season of temptation, and maybe Satan is offering me bread and I am hungry, there is no place for me to only be able to see that bread. That's tunnel vision. If I'm in seasons of lust, there's no place for me to just see the strange woman or the strange man. If I'm in a season of discouragement, there's no place for me to only see that one comment that one person made. Because that's not wisdom. Wisdom is stepping back and looking far down the road and looking at the big picture. We need a great measure of wisdom when we're dealing with seasons of temptation. Because wisdom will say to you, if wisdom was your companion, wisdom will say to you, yeah, you can pick up that glass of whiskey. Yeah, you can follow that woman. Yeah, you can get down and roll in your self-pity, and it will feel good. But on down the road, it's going to rot your bones. That's what wisdom will tell you is your companion. So we need to exercise great wisdom when we're dealing with temptation. Now, sometimes, and I don't mean to be negative again, but it's kind of hard not to be at times in the world that we live in. Let me tell you what this world needs. And if you're a father in this room, I hope you perk up. If you're a grandfather in this room, I hope you perk up. We need men standing on the walls of our homes, having that home prepared for the seasons of temptation that are going to come its way. That's what we need. We need mamas in there teaching the children the Word of God as the dad stands there on the wall watching for that old terrible dragon Satan. So when those children grow up, they can make him flee. But we got to put the phones down, and we got to cut the TV off, and we got to quit running around chasing everything that doesn't mean anything. And we've got to get back to what the Lord intended the family to be. That's what we need. I pray that if that old beast Satan comes after my family, he's got to get through me. And I pray that I'm prepared for him. And I pray if he does get through me, that he'll find a godly woman who's prepared also. And if he gets through her, that he'll find four children who've been taught the Word of God and who have surrounded themselves with wise counsel and who know they're weak. I want to be able to lay on my deathbed and say that I did everything I knew to do to give my family and your family strength during those seasons, because they are coming. I hope that's been profitable to you. And I hope if you hadn't been standing on the wall watching and preparing, I pray that you do. We need it as God's people. Thank you for your kind attention.